This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, people? This is the Reverend Spiro, which is unusual because usually it's Crazy Legs or Paul, starting the show. But Crazy Legs and Paul ain't fucking here, right? So it's me and a couple of friends, and we're going to do another episode of Bartender's Bitch. And what I mean by Bartender's Bitch is it's not in the possessive. It means bartenders get to bitch and tell us awesome stories about the bartending industry. As we have told you about before on this show, we face out onto the Roberta's dining room area, and it's always a first date table. And the people I have with me tonight are Brian Grew and Allison Semple.
Hello.
Who are from The Bounty and The Drink. And we've been watching the first date table. And Allison, you noticed something very interesting about the male at the first date table.
His body language is terrible. He's turned almost 180 degrees away from her.
He's smashed up against the glass.
Does he
have no idea that we're in here? Nobody's looking at us, which is fine. I prefer it that way, but he's just smashed
up against the glass. He's barely looking at his date. I mean, and the funny thing was, we always say that at the first date table, within like 5-10 minutes, the phones come out, and Brian called it. He was like, oh, she's going for a bag, and oh, there's the phone! That's
within like 2 minutes, they had just finished ordering.
Yeah.
But there's always a first date table at any bar, I mean, especially our bars, we know them. But
well, yeah, you guys, we were just talking about that, so I would love to know more about that. You were saying there were certain places, spots,
certain
at your
tables
bars,
that certain people are drawn to. For us, it's the front window. It's always the front for the first date tables because they're small and they're sort of secluded. And there's a birthday party table. It's a big, like 10-seater. And then there's one that is sort of tucked away in the corner where the bartender can't see you, where people break up because that's where they're not in full view of everyone.
Are there tears?
I never see them because it's in the only place in the whole bar that I can't see.
So that's like a really douchey way to like break up with somebody. I'm sorry. Is it me? I think you should be able to be a man and break up with somebody and just say like, hey, I'm breaking up with you. And if you're going to cry, okay, you're going to cry.
But at least do it, not in public.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do it so that like, oh, I'm sorry. I have to repress the urge to cry because, I'm around a lot of people. That's just a douchey, fucked up thing to do.
I think the idea is that if you're out in public, it's an easy escape. You can just zip out of there and go.
No, that's just fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is it? Is that Crazy Legs?
It is.
Crazy Legs. Oh.
Hey, nice to meet you.
All right, three demerits for you.
Three demerits?
We were just talking about, this is Brian, this is Allison, by the way.
Hello.
Honored to have you here.
Yeah, and we were just talking about the first date table. We were talking about his body language. What do you think his body language says, Grace?
Well,
Marks?
He's leaning up against a giant glass pane, so he's trying to appear tougher than he is. He's trying to be, I could care less if this breaks.
I can't believe they can't hear your loud.
My deltoids would support me. I can't see the girl, though.
If they react, we'll actually bring him in. We will.
No, I don't want to bring that guy in. He's not my bro. I see. I can't really see the girl. She's kind of dressed in a frumpy American Apparel outfit, but I can't see her face. Does she seem like a nice person?
She seems like
a really nice person.
She should not be on a date with this guy.
He's got his menu rolled up. He's tapping against his fist.
You're still single, right, Crazy Legs?
Yes, I've retired from dating. Although the waitress in the Striker t-shirt with the Chardonnay is piquing my interest. I think the girl should be dating her. Yes. Are you discussing single people in bars or just single people in restaurants?
We're discussing
day tables and date areas.
It's been a while since I dated. I did retire my pornography-only computer the other night. But is summer a good time or a bad time?
I think so, generally. People are in better moods in the summer.
They're in a better mood. And it's more like casual fling. Where are either of you? You guys are together, right?
We date each other.
You date each other
at the same time.
Now, so
we
not at different.
How long have you been dating?
5 years and
five
a bit.
Years. And you work together as well.
Not exactly.
Okay, because we have a show before us, a beer show on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. It's a couple who does, they brew beer together, they live together, they work together, and they host a podcast together, which makes it seem like they should be drinking even more beer to make them forget each other.
Because I love Judy McGuire. I'll say that to the world. She's the love of my life. But if we did that much stuff together, we would not be together.
Like a bad recipe.
So how do you find time away from each other? Are you considered independent people, or
we have pretty different schedules. I manage the drink, so I'm there mostly in the daytime. I have a couple
and they work at related bars, but okay. Not the same.
Yeah, and we go to each other's bars. Yeah, when we're
bars that you would actually love.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm interested in that. I'm looking to upgrade my bar experience.
All right, we'll save you a seat.
You know, that'd be good because in my East Village existence, I was. When I became single, I was drinking heavily, but mostly afternoon drinking at Coyote Ugly, which has not been great to drink at for about 10
really?
Years.
Really?
And then it's got even worse. It's got even worse now.
Yeah,
it's,
he lives next to the Angels and drinks at freaking...
Yeah. Does everyone know what the name Coyote Ugly comes from?
Yes. This is what Jerry Bruckheimer optioned in the Vanity Fair article, which was really about hogs and heifers.
Which is R.I.P.
New York is over.
R.I.P.
If you haven't figured it out by now, New York is over. Coyote Ugly is when you wake up in the morning and the person you're with is so unattractive that you would rather gnaw your own arm off, picturing it under his or her head, than have to wake them up to see them again. But that's never happened to me. I have incredibly low standards. So I've never, if anything, the other person has pretended to be asleep and wanted to gnaw their arm off. So, yeah.
Well, look, if you were next to me, I wouldn't gnaw off my arm. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay. That's so very romantic of you. But, and then because Coyote Ugly's closing, do you guys? You guys are bar people. What does tilting the register mean? Have you ever heard this saying?
I don't think I have.
There's a guy who drinks a Coyote Ugly who looks like me in 15 years if I keep drinking a Coyote Ugly.
Oh God,
the okay, wizard! Right. All his dreads are fused together. He's got a giant beard.
He's got a shitlock.
Yeah. And
did he ever touch you with it?
No. He still drinks PBR, which I've drank my lifetime quota of. So I'm willing to pay 2.5 times more to drink Bud Light in a bottle. Yeah. But he said at a place across the street they were tilting the register. To bring the Coyote Ugly business away. And I said, well, that's a good thing because it's all like bike messengers. The place smells worse than it did before. So I do need to find a new place to drink.
Tilting the register means like downpricing all of your drinks?
I guess so. Or trying to like pull... There was something like a very
Bukowski kind of thing.
I'm
picturing a pinball tilt more.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I first heard Hogs and Heifers, which I'd been going to for the entire existence, was closing because a guy who is in the pinball circles, when he hears that a pinball machine has to be removed, he goes to the bar and remove it. Now, Hogs and Heifers doesn't have a pinball machine, but apparently they were inquiring about other locations. So, yes. What bars should I be going to, I guess, is the question.
Well, let's talk about their bars.
Yeah, that's...
Let's talk about your respective bars and what they represent and what the culture's like.
Sure, yeah. The Bounty, we do classic cocktails. We're about 2 years old. We have a handful of seasonal house cocktails.
Where is it?
It's in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, on Greenpoint Avenue at Manhattan.
I've been craving pierogies and Peter Pan donuts, so...
Oh, yeah, like this pierogies.
Well, they're on the way. You can do a whole day after.
My favorite Polish place across the street from us just...
It still exists. Oh. There's still Polish places in Greenpoint.
There's still some. Awesome. My
classic,
favorite ones.
Classic cocktail, Manhattan. What vermouth do you use?
Well, we use Dolin.
Dolin's good. They're French, right?
Dolin is a French vermouth, yeah.
Brian was training there, he taught me what a meniscus was.
Well,
he was asleep during his seventh grade.
I was the one who told you that.
Yeah, you were the one who told me about the meniscus.
Did you know that about surface tension?
Surface tension. Yeah,
it's a different word for it, but very important when you're getting down to
ounces of alcohol.
Yeah, because I didn't go to seventh grade. I just didn't.
You didn't drop the drops of water on the penny.
Fuck all that. I bribe my teachers with pot so I can get to the next grade.
There you go.
So meniscus is a thing. Bounty's been there for a while. We have it's a restaurant with a cocktail bar in it.
Nice. I like food.
And
what kind of food do they serve at the Bounty?
Seafood centric. We have a dollar oyster happy hour and
Is there? Have you ever cut anybody off from the dollar oysters, or just
no,
it runs out?
No, we encourage it.
Right.
Yeah, when I see someone going over the 5 dozen mark,
yes,
I'll start calling it a competition.
Nice.
And encourage
right.
them.
Yeah.
You guys are sitting with an oyster champion.
Oyster champion. Yeah.
Stop line.
It's been a while.
What's your max?
Before you say. So Nick Jarrett, friend of ours, friend of bars in general, as far as I'm concerned, has the neighborhood record of a dozen at Maison Premiere.
A dozen dozen.
A dozen dozen.
144?
Now, all right. Please go on there, crazy right.
Legs. I'm a member of Major League Eating. So we are a stomach-centric sanctioned athletic league. So in New Orleans at the Acme Oyster House, we do a speed contest every year. And my best is 32 dozen in 8 minutes, but that's top of the line.
What's your technique? Do you do like several at once?
Sonia the Black Widow Thomas, who's done 46 dozen, does economy of motion. So she does about 4 at once.
Isn't she a pool player?
No,
there is a pool player. There's other
Black Widow.
Lots of women have destroyed men over the years in various sports, from competitive eating to the billiards.
No, she was at the hot dog eating contest this year. The one he's talking about.
I like the straight up speed. I like to do the first dozen in 7 seconds. But when I'm eating casually at Maison Premier or soon at the Bounty, I really just enjoy the mollusk. I really like to get into it because I like yonic foods more than phallic foods. So I would I would not even attempt to do. To break any records, I would just enjoy.
Hippie. Okay. Anyway,
the Bounty is it seafood because the Bounty is the boat, like Mutiny on the Bounty, or
it is. That's our namesake.
All right.
Yeah. And thus the drink is their sister bar.
Grog. Oh,
the
do they have grog?
As in slip into the drink. The literary.
Yeah. And where is the drink?
It's down the street from Manhattan on the other from the Bounty on the other side of the BQE. It's on Manhattan and Grand.
All right. See, that's the beauty of Brooklyn. Living is down the street from Manhattan does not mean the giant island that everybody thinks
right.
is the center of the universe. It's actually something entirely different.
It's on the same street, but it's a very long street.
Nice. Sure. All right. And what kind of cocktails are there?
Our focus is punch.
Ooh,
we do, I think, 10 different punches by the glass.
Okay.
By the bowl all the time.
By the bowl, yeah.
And then we choose two to do by the glass every night.
Winter, is there a warm punch?
Yep. In the winter, we have the wassail on all winter long, which is a hot spiced cider punch.
Something that Clarence from
and just
It's a Wonderful
Ali,
Life.
Ali was actually his alumni. You weren't a host then, but Ali did our St. Patrick's show.
It was St. Patrick's.
Oh, what
yeah.
did you drink? Green beer?
No. But she created a green drink that
Ooh.
Actually showed up in the what Daily News?
I think it was Daily News.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
It was the Metro.
I read the Post.
I can't remember.
What
it was
a
big
drink?
Picture though. It looked good. It looked good.
I had real big pit stains in the picture.
That's what happens when you grind Grimace down into an alcohol drink.
Welcome to my
picture.
Fucking world. Yeah. I have it every day. Hello.
Those are beyond pit stains. Those are elbow stains.
Yeah, dude. I mean, they're coming from my wrist up.
Does the stain in your elbow and the stain in your pick connect?
Yes.
It's hard to do with facial hair, let alone.
It's a Greek thing you wouldn't understand, okay?
All right. So that sounds pretty good because I know that punch historically has had incredible prominence in the alcoholic world.
Mm-hmm.
I worked briefly for a guy who was trying to herald in the punch craze, but it was at a Japanese restaurant that didn't sell sushi, and it was a failure. It was owned by one of the Dash Cardigans, Scott Disick or whatever. It was Ryu in the meatpacking district.
Japanese
so
punch.
It was a disaster. But I like punch, and punch for suburban Bostonites was always the Scorpion Bowl,
yep.
which this is not. This is not.
It's classic traditional punch.
Yeah, so good stuff.
It's all about the sense of community you get from sharing a large format cocktail with your buddies.
Yes, a trough of booze.
I have never heard that before. A large format cocktail.
That's how responsible drinkers refer to it.
Well, I don't pay attention, but anyway.
Can you explain
a large format cocktail. What's a large format cocktail?
Well, I basically go through the same process when I'm creating a punch as I would to create a cocktail. So I start out with an ounce of an ounce to 2 ounces of booze and then kind of mix together spirits and then I multiply by about 10. To get a punch bowl.
All right. I want to hear a punch recipe when we come back. We're going to take a short break.
We'll take a short break and we'll be back in a second.
While we're on break, let's each think of our best or worst punch recipe, and then we're going to pitch it to you.
Okay.
Eating disorder, back after these words from sponsors.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
We're back.
Tell us who we're back with, Rob.
Yes, we're back. And, of course, the best stuff always happens while the commercials are on. Brian told us there's a phenomenon going on in Williamsburg at what used to be Coco 66. What is it now?
It's Tender Trap, and maybe it's a secondhand story, but I've certainly seen a few photos online.
Really?
So Coco 66 has been there for a while and different...
In different iterations, yeah.
Different iterations.
But what's going on? Come on.
So we're a block away, and at our bar, we're a block away. People come in, you talk to them, and you ask them what they're doing. And they say, we're going to the new Tender Trap to watch a girl shoot ping pong balls out of her butthole.
Get what? The fuck out of here.
Out of her butthole? That's not traditional style. That's fusion ping pong show.
It's unsanitary. But
I just told you I drank a Coyote Ugly for 20 years. Unsanitary doesn't bother me.
Does she aim it at things? Does she have like
yeah?
Does she aim it? I haven't gone. That's why it's secondhand. So I don't know what night it is.
Like if it hits you in the forehead, do you get a goldfish?
I hope so.
You get a napkin, hopefully, from the bar. You get a bar nap. Wow. Yeah. Huh. Now we have a few places to visit.
Yeah. Well, okay. What I want to talk about a little bit is just we you know when I brought these guys on and every time we have bartenders on or chefs on or whatnot, we always want to talk about the interesting parts of being in the food service. But the things I always tell people is like dangerous or you know. Bad tippers or, you know, whatever. But Brian, you've got a story about a dangerous...
Yeah, bad tippers, kind of boring. Like, the worst tip you can get is zero. So, whatever.
I did get a roll of nickels once. Which
a roll of nickels?
Worse than
so
zero.
So, $2.
No. We're getting a roll of nickels you can hurt somebody with.
Well...
So, it could be a weapon.
I guess so.
You'd trade that in.
But dangerous. You said you had somebody who was dangerous.
Yeah. I guess
where was it?
I've been at it for bartending, I guess 15 years now. Five in Williamsburg, Greenpoint. And I was at the K&M Legion bars for years, about 3 years. And it was a happy hour. And just the worst looking guy, just head to toe Mets gear. And not because
of
the Mets.
Of course, I'm a Mets
guy. Yeah, I don't care about baseball, but I have to pick. I'm a Mets guy. Yeah. So that didn't matter. You could have been head to toe any kind of gear.
Yeah.
But
I'm assuming it wasn't even a game night. It was just a random.
Nope, it was a... Well, when is baseball season now? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So this guy was in there. He was by himself. There were maybe like five people. And he didn't like the look of me. I didn't like the look of him. What do? You know, you're a solo guy, solo bartender in there. So I asked him to leave. He told me it's kind of, I didn't say cross the line, but it is a kind of a short line that you might have to cross. It's an intricate line.
What was the line?
Said, "How about we see you next time?" I got his name.
What was his line?
Because he was too inebriated,
or yeah, he was wasted and okay. and leering at people and like sitting on his bench and rocking and hitting his head on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Like, buddy. And I know everybody's name.
Asylum,
during
yeah.
a happy hour when you're by yourself, you know everybody's name that comes in your bar.
Right.
I served him a couple drinks. It seemed pretty harmless. And, Kevin Ang was there, too. Yeah, Kevin Ang was down the bar. This will come in later. It's a short story.
Kevin Ang, also alumni.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the guy goes, come here, let me talk to you. No, I ain't coming in there. So immediately look at Kevin, who can hold his own much much better than I can. And so Kevin's aware of the thing. I go, nah, I'm not coming in there. How about, drinks are on me? How about we just see you next time? Instead of, how about you get the fuck out?
Right.
Nice. We'll see you next time, bud. Thanks for coming in.
That's the way to do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think so.
That's the way to do it.
It's an art form, depending on your personality. That's my way to do it. We'll see you next time. Thanks for coming.
Mm-hmm.
I got your drinks, la, la, la. So walk to the other end of the bar. The guy follows me down there. Oh, shit. So I'm not a fighter, but Kevin Ng's in the middle of the bar.
Yeah.
And like I said, he can hold his own. Anyway, the guy... kind of reaches for me, back off, and I back off and walk to the other end of the bar. The guy, I'm just basically slowly pacing. The guy's following me. Kevin goes, just walk to the other end of the bar. And the guy goes, I know where you work. I know when you work. I'm going to go out to my car right now. I'm going to get my gun and come back and shoot you in the face.
Mm.
And then...
And I've known you, I've known you for a very long time, and we've had disagreements, but there's nothing you could ever fucking do to me that I would ever come back and say, I'm going to shoot you in the face.
Yeah, and he was half in the bag, so I didn't really believe him, but I kind of did a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was pretty sure he had a car and probably a gun, and he was the worst looking guy ever. So, cops, what do? You call the cops. Right. Cops came, luckily, before he came back, and he did come back. I saw him in the window.
Wow, all right.
Whether he had a gun or not, I'll never know.
And what do the cops do?
They said, what happened? I told them what happened. And I said, is this the guy? I said, as long as you get him out of here, I don't care.
Right.
Like, I don't want to press charges. Nothing really happened. I can't press charges, but this is what happened, and this is the guy. Mm-hmm. And he just walked away briskly. But, you know, Thanksgiving happened, as I remember, and the whole time I was thinking, oh, you know, I know where you work. I know when you work.
And you know this guy. But you know you can get on public transportation and go to Yankee Stadium, and the guy will never find you because he has a car and he's a Mets fan. So was there anything else? Did you ever see him again?
I did see him again.
Oh.
I don't think he remembered me, and if he did, he didn't choose to shoot me in the face.
All right. But
cool.
Yes,
no shooting in the face. Yay! All right.
Pretty scary, though, when you're by yourself. Luckily, I think Kevin did talk him down, so I'll thank him for that.
Well.
But he came back, and who knows what would have happened.
Yes.
Pretty scary.
All right, yeah.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this in regards to, we'll throw this to Dally. In regards to the types of customers that you love having, like, we always talk about the shitty customers.
Mm-hmm.
We always do. We always talk about, like, okay, there's the dickhead, there's the, you know, the guy who wants to be macho and the guy who throws his money around, whatever. Who are the customers that you just love? Like, they're awesome, and why? Why are they awesome?
We had, there's kind of a stereotype of just, you know, foreign customers in general, but especially French customers, that they don't tip very well.
Okay.
Which is not always true. This French guy and his friend came in the other day and immediately started it on. For some reason, French people love Red Bull. So every time I get a French person in the bar,
I thought that was like a South African, like, Diane word thing.
I don't know. They love Red Bull.
Red Bull.
We should have a cultural exchange.
That was a French accent.
No, that was more Russian, I think.
Red Bull.
Anyhow, so he starts off by trying to order a vodka Red Bull, which we don't have. He was a little disappointed. He said, all right, well, what kind of vodka drink can you recommend? So I offered to make him a Moscow Mule. And he goes, okay, I'll have six. And I went, excuse me? Are you with some
people? Yeah, where are the other five people?
He's buying drinks for all of his friends in the backyard. So I can only make four drinks at a time if they're the same kind in my shaker tins. What? So my... Oh, yeah? You want
to... Oh, competition.
Hold on.
All right.
They're too large. Anyway, so I make three and Billy makes three, and the guy is just having a blast. He's like cheering for us and, you know, commenting to his friend how great of bartenders we were, which, I mean, we're just shaking drinks. It's not like rocket science. I'm not Tom Cruising bottles or anything.
Hey, you know.
But he's just having a great time, and he's, you know, cheering us on. And
In France, they actually call it Brian Coxing. They like the other guy better, but keep going.
All right. So, yeah, he pays for all of his buddy's drinks and then tips us $30.
Holy shit.
Which is amazing. So
I guess
more of the stories, I like people who give me their money.
Yeah, French people. No. He was used to aperitifs. He couldn't believe there was labor involved.
He was super stoked. He just seemed like he was having a really great time, which is what I really enjoy, you know, in a customer.
And he wasn't disappointed that there was no Red Bull. He should have switched from Red Bull to something healthier cocaine.
And Brian knows that I love Red Bull.
You love Red Bull?
I fucking love Red Bull.
That was your second phase of us knowing each other.
It's going to eat your insides out.
I love the way it tastes.
Really?
Not even with any booze.
It's too late for us to get them as a sponsor. Yeah, I'm just learning about this now.
I love Red Bull.
If they had caffeine-free Red Bull, I'd be
like... Oh, yeah, that's the way to go. It's like drinking non-alcoholic beer.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, okay, what about... okay, so we have the customers that we're afraid of, the customers that we love. What about... Okay, and I throw this out to every bar employee and or restaurant employee. Let's talk about the nature of what's going on with the city and bars. Now, I hang out at a bunch of places down in the 30s and in the 29th Street area, friends like Rattle and Hum, whatever. They text each other when the health department's coming around or when...
Yeah, we do that too.
But there seems to be a witch hunt going on in the last, like, 6 months. Like, there just seems... And maybe this is something that's just been going on over... Yeah, like the five-point... what do you call...
the... police department.
Police, yeah. Fire, health, building, yeah, blah, blah, yeah, all at once. Yeah. And it just, it seems to be really, really prevalent right now. I mean, have you guys seen anything like this, and how do you feel about it?
I've never gotten a raid, no. But I have, I guess...
I've been at places that have gotten, I guess you can call it a raid. It certainly is. Like, they come in unannounced, and it's it's calculated.
And bully you.
And it does seem
honest,
to be...
I've seen
Saturday
it.
Saturday night,
I've
they make it. You shut down service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, they do
it.
That a lot. They'll close places down on the busiest night just to be mean-spirited.
You certainly get the feeling that they're doing it for... their own.
I've heard stories about it. If there's too many liquor licenses in a you know small area, they'll target.
But they won't go for that.
Areas.
They'll do like the cabaret license. Like people were dancing. They were moving.
Do you know what the
I was like, it was classical music on that bar.
The definition
no one was dancing.
Of what dancing is.
That is
three steps in rhythm. So
what?
Therefore, if I just have a jaunty walk listening to, like, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, I'm dancing.
Yeah, there's a lot of white people who can't do
that.
Shut
the bar down doing that.
All right. So, do you find, though, that being in Brooklyn is better than being in Manhattan?
As far as hanging out? Or
no, like a bar. Like having a bar, people are more receptive.
Off
the
radar,
air is cleaner.
You know, that kind of thing.
I don't go out in Manhattan all that often, so I don't have much to compare it to.
All right. It's terrible.
Generally, my most specific knowledge is of the DOH, and my knowledge of them is that if you are consistently getting poor letter grades, they'll come back more frequently. So
and
if
play
you get,
Candy Crush. At
and
your
they will sit there for 30 minutes and play Candy Crush.
Oh.
Our last,
are they
good?
That's a new girl.
Do they play with like rubber gloves on and a tong? That's
no.
how I picture them.
She pretended she was doing her job.
Because they get paid hourly. And
if
they spend longer at the bar. Her inspection took 10 minutes because we got a perfect A right off. And she sat at the table and played Candy Crush for 30
minutes.
Well,
they're going to extend into nail salons.
And of course,
now,
we're all on like, you know, the edge of our seat waiting for our grade, and she's just
guys. I mean, you got to remember that the turkey's nest got an A on their first inspection. Remember that.
Yep.
Wow. All right. So let's go around. Let's talk. What would be the drink of summer for you personally? Obviously, I've been on a big rosé kick, but I'll by the time it comes to me, I'll think of a cocktail. Mm-hmm. Revo, you got one. You're quaffing this summer.
Yeah, I've been drinking gazpacho like it's freaking.
gazpacho.
I have the best gazpacho recipe. I put it on our Facebook page.
What booze do you put in the gazpacho?
No booze in it. It's. Dude, it is
a gazpachotini.
It's amazing.
Really?
You could easily put tequila in it, I believe. Yeah. But that's what I've been drinking. That's my drink. Gazpacho.
National Tequila Day was
maybe
last week.
Yes, it was.
Now it's National Hot Dog Day, and then National Tequila Day is the next day. Shouldn't it be the other way around?
Are you from Boston?
Hot
dog.
Yeah.
Oh, you said hot dog.
When I'm from Dorchester, start thinking tequila. The ozone layer is crazy.
We had
crazy
a asshole episode.
Okay.
When you go to the movie theater and you get a bag of, what's that called?
Popcorn?
Come on.
Popcorn? I don't know. Hot dog. They had to redo the trailer for a documentary about hot dog eating because I kept mispronouncing it. All right.
Do you not say popcorn also?
I do not, because that sounds like it's made out of dog. I only eat that.
Hot dogs are made in South Korea.
Yeah. No.
Right, back to drinks. Back to drinks.
All right. I was surprised by his gazpacho tini.
It's amazing.
And yourself?
I have been drinking cider pretty much nonstop the past couple months.
There is an all cider bar in Manhattan on, of all things, Orchard Street. Yeah.
My buddy Jeff works there.
He says hot dog before seeing Controller play at piano. So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Do you have a cider category you like? Like a
Pear,
cherry.
I like kumquat. Dry ciders a
dry
lot.
Ciders,
so I really
right.
like there's a cider from Asturias, Spain. That's a really dry, medicinal, still cider. That's one of my favorites. It's really cool.
All right. I'm going to go... let me let you go first.
I mean, my go-to is vodka and gazpacho.
No. Oh.
Now, come on. You got to go.
Really, it's, I guess... It's a summer of tequila, so margaritas, palomas, maybe something spicy.
What's a paloma?
A paloma, people always think that the margarita is the national drink of Mexico, but it's the paloma.
And
which
tell
is,
what's
in
a paloma?
Grapefruit soda.
Ooh.
Tequila.
This sounds good. I want one of those.
It's like a salty dog kind of thing?
Huh.
There's salt in it, if you like salt on it.
I like salt in it.
What's your drink?
My drink of summer, it's funny you should mention that. I remember a few years ago, before Paris and Nikki Hilton got famous, I saw them with Marcus Schreckenberg and somebody else at an open bar party, and I said the Greyhound was the drink of summer.
Were you wearing like night vision glasses where you were?
I was a shorter cook at the time. But no, my big one this summer is the Pimm's Cup. I like that. I like low alcohol, cucumber, fizzy stuff. Mm-hmm. I've just taken to alternating swigs from a giant 2-liter of seltzer and a full 750 of Pimm's. So if you see me outside your bar in the morning and I've got two empties, one Pimm's
and muffalata crumbs all over your beard.
Pocket full of cucumbers.
Giant gazpacho stain on my Uniqlo linen, then let me in. I promise I won't wear any Mets gear.
All right, folks. That is our show tonight. Thank you for coming.
All right. And our dates.
Tell us where we can find you guys.
Yeah. Plug something.
Yep, the Bounty. There's the cocktail bar and the great restaurant on Greenpoint Avenue.
Nice.
Between what?
Between Franklin and Manhattan. All right. 131 Greenpoint Avenue.
I'm at the Drink, 228 Manhattan Avenue, just south of Grand Street.
Awesome. All right, folks, we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.